Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're living in a day and time where things are really getting bad, and they're getting worse each and every day. But just like now here, you know, my service this evening is reaching around the world through the internet. I have a lot of listeners that's listening in other countries. But for our own here, I've got one person here with me at the church. Because in our land, the people are growing farther and further and further away from the Lord Jesus Christ and the church. All right, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we get into your word, we ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us, Father, to give us strength, build our faith, so that we can walk in the Lord Jesus Christ and He in us, and make heaven our home when we step out of this life and into eternity. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this evening. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be talking to you this evening from Ephesians chapter 4. Give everybody just a moment to get there. But you know, this is a chapter that is really telling mankind what they need and how they need to be and how they need to be living. It's very strong. So, we're going to start here with verse 1. You know, I'm more of a teacher than a preacher. We're going to start with verse 1, start breaking this chapter down to really understand what it has to say for us. In verse 1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. Verse 2, with all lowliness, meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And you know, when we take a look at that, we know that the apostle is letting you and I know to walk worthy of our vocation. In other words, to walk worthy of how God has called us and to be what he has called us to be. And we are to live our lives in a manner that is befitting of just that, of doing exactly what he said he would do. Now, I'm going to hesitate here just a minute, just a second. And we'll be getting back in to the service. All right, now, I told you that this chapter really is about unity, about us walking in unity. And that is as a whole. That is as the church. It don't mean just individually, although he includes us in it individually, but it is mainly written for the churches to all work in unity. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, I wasn't telling you something he wasn't saying. He's letting us know that we are to walk in unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. But we're going to get more into this unity here in the next three verses, 4, 5, and 6. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But we also know that in those three verses, we have a key. In fact, we've got seven keys that we all need, pardon me, if we are to walk in the Spirit, really, and walk in unity. And one is, he tells us that we are one body. And that body is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and the Christian church. That body is Jesus Christ and the Christian church. That's why we need the walls of the churches all tore down today. A lot of people don't realize that that's what's happened down through the years, that our churches has built walls, and they have caused division. Instead of causing unity, it caused divisions. They call them walls denomination. The Baptist denomination, the Methodist denomination, the Presbyterian denomination, so forth and so on. And they want nothing to do with each other. They act like that heaven's going to be a place to where each one of them will just have their own little spot, and they won't have nothing to do with the rest of them. That's not so. What that is doing, that's just letting them know that they're all wrong. And they'll not make their heaven their home that way. Now, number two is one Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit of God. And the reason for that is he's the one that imparts knowledge and all to you and I and helps us to grow in the grace and to be able to live a spiritual life in Christ. And you see, we get nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't make heaven our home no other way. There is no other way. only through him. We can't go around him. We can't go under him. We can't go over him. We have to go through him. God gave us spiritual gifts. He put them in the church. And he tells us all about it. We find that in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. God tells us what he actually put into the church. We can go here and I'll read it to you so you'll know that I'm not telling you something that's not so. Now, the heading of this says, "You are the body of Christ." Verse 27 here. He says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church." Here's what he put into the churches. First, apostles. What church have you ever been into today that's got an apostle in it? Secondly, prophets. Something else is greatly missing. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Where's our miracles today happening in our churches? Then gifts of healing. Helps. Governments and diversities of tongues. Them are all things that God put into the church. It's already in God's church. We don't have to beg him for those things. They're already ours if we are born again, children of Almighty God. A lot of us like to claim to be Christians, and we're just as lost as we can be. Think about it. Because we don't walk in the Word. We look for all kinds of excuses to stay out of God's Word. I don't have time. I got to do this or I got to do that. So I don't have time to even sit down and get into God's Word. I don't have time to set aside every day for prayer so I can spend time with God. And I sure ain't got time to go to church. Well, you know, God won't make you go. He's not going to pick you up and set you there, although he could. Be surprised what he can do, but he ain't going to. He gave you a choice, but he does tell you what is going to happen if you don't do it. And he lets you know that destruction is going to come upon you. And we're seeing a lot of bad things going on today. Things are going to get worse, and they're going to get worse soon. A lot of us, me at my age, I know I'm going to see things get worse than what they are. But I also know that he'll take care of me. Because he said he would. Because I'm going to walk with him. And the only way they'll ever get me to close this church door or not be here for services is they'll have to lock me up. And if they do, then they'll give me a congregation that can't get away from me. And I'll still be preaching his gospel. I'll preach to the jailer too, along with it. Because he can have anything I've got, including my life. And that I mean sincerely. I'm not just saying it. And he knows it. Now, three, the third thing, is one hope. You know, as Christians, we all share the same future. We are headed toward the same heavenly place if we are a born-again child of the living God. Because, you see, all that are children of God, we are in unity. Because we walk by His Word. We live by His Word. And we love each other. And we love all of mankind. Now we know that there's going to be more leave this world lost than saved. Because His Word tells us that also. But we are to reach them. We're not to use excuses to not share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with mankind, regardless of how they live in. Because as we were talking this morning, when he reached down and pick up an old country boy like he did me, he'll sure take you. Because I can stand just and proclaim just like Paul did, I was one of the worst among sinners. Because there wasn't much sin I didn't try. Now, number four. One Lord. We are all to submit to the same ruler, Jesus Christ. As I said, everything has to do for you and I with Jesus. Yes, those gifts and all and blessings and everything comes from God the Father. But it comes to you and I through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's brought to us by the Holy Spirit. That's why there is three. His Word tells us, in heaven there's three that bear record, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's why. Because Jesus told us when he was here on earth that the works he was doing actually came from the Father. And the works that we'll do today. He sends me to you because you're sick. He tells me to lay my hands on you. It's your time to be healed. And I come and I lay hands on you. And God heals you. Don't look at me and say, that man's a healer. No, that man ain't no healer. I'm just a channel he worked through. I laid my hands on you. That healing came through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit worked through me and reached out and touched you. But this is what mankind has forgotten in the church today. Now, five. One faith.
Which Baptist church? Third? Fourth?
Yeah. Where'd all these faiths come from? Baptist church, huh? You know, my faith's different than yours because you're Methodist. Then both of them. Well, my faith's different. Our faith's different from yours because you're Pentecostal. And then when you get to those churches and you get inside, they don't even agree with each other in the one church. They differ. And they keep splitting because they can't get along. I'll just go start my own. And that's where we got all these different churches. Here at one time, right here in Meade County, because I can remember that. I was just a child, young child. But I can remember. We only had three different churches here in this county. Had the Baptist, the Methodist, and the Catholic. That's all was here. Now look at us. We've got more Baptist churches than that. You got the Southern Baptist. You got the Hard Shell Baptist. You got the First Baptist. You've got the General Baptist. You've got Calvary Baptist. You've got the Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. All right here in Meade County. And they don't even believe like each other. They want nothing to do with each other, really. I know, because I know a lot of them. But this is what we have grown into. And, you know, we're all supposed to be under the same ruler, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number five, one faith. One faith. There ain't no four or five faiths out here, just one. All believers, we must place our trust and our faith in Christ. We do that for salvation. We do that for healing. We do that for whatever need we have. We do it by faith and through faith. Without using our faith, we'll receive nothing. If we don't have our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to be able to accept a thing. Nothing will be given to you. Think about it. You get no healing. You get no answers to no prayers. You get no blessings. You can lose everything that you got. And I've got a very close friend right now that's walking on very, very thin ice. Got a good business. And he's about to lose his family and his business. All because he will not keep a commitment he made to God. Think about it. I pray for him several times a day because he will not choose to do and keep the commitment he himself made. He called me just a few nights back crying and telling me, I'm standing right now so close to losing everything.
Well, that maybe he got to be broken.
And I told him, I said, well, you know what's wrong, because I've told you before. I told him, I said, you know you've got to keep that commitment. And if you don't, yes, you'll probably end up losing both. You'll probably end up losing your wife and your business both. But he's still not keeping it. Because he's placing his trust in himself instead of in God. That don't work. That don't work. Now, number six, one baptism. One baptism. Well, we've got two circulating out in the world. But there ain't but one right one. And we're told. But because both are mentioned in the Bible, and those that are going with that one don't have the Holy Spirit working with them or within their church. So Satan got them to believe in contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Assembly of God Church told me it's just been
symbolic. I don't need it.
Yeah.
So
they, a lot of them will tell you, yeah, it's just symbolic. It's just symbol. You don't really have to be baptized. Bible don't tell you that. Then you got the other churches out here that baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, all they done when they do that to you, they take you in the water or dry center and bring you out a wet one. Because that ain't the way you're to be baptized. And that's why a lot of people are walking around today claiming to be Christians that really has got no faith. They've got no Christianity about them. Because you see, there was a time that man was baptized that way. Yes. That was John's baptism. That's the way John the Baptist baptized. And he was baptizing you for repentance. But that was under the law. When the Lord came and died on that cross, and he spent that 3 days dead. Well, he didn't spend it dead, actually. Just 3 days he was gone from here. Because while that body lay in the tomb, he went to hell for you and I. He went to hell and fought with the devil and took the keys away from him. Then came back and the Lord raised him up. Father raised him up. And that's why that started the church age. That fulfilled the law. We don't live by the law. We can't live by the law. In fact, the ones that was living under it, that's why Jesus came. They couldn't live by it. Or wouldn't do it, put it that way. They could have, I guess, if they really wanted to, because God wouldn't have given them something they couldn't do. But they sure didn't choose to. But they were on their own. You see, God gave us something altogether different. They were on their own. They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. But when Jesus left here and went back to heaven, sent back the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to mankind, that was the beginning of the church age. Then, we are to be baptized according to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, tells you what the plan of salvation for you is. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Because you've got to put him on. Because you've got to walk in him and he walk in you. And you do that through baptism. Everything changed with the church age. And then the Holy Spirit was given to you and I. It lives in us. It's always with you. We're not on our own. And I thank God for that. I'd have sure been gone a long time ago.
I don't want to figure it out.
And I'd have been gone a long time ago. And I sure wouldn't have been making heaven my home.
No.
If I'd went. But, you see, mankind has forgot a lot of these things. But we need that one baptism. We need it in Jesus' name. Now, we will be filled, and some call that being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the main thing is you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's going to come and live within the children of Almighty God. But you've got to be clean. He ain't moving into some place that's got sin in it. Now all these churches out here going today that's telling you you can't live your life without sinning, all they doing is deceiving you. and helping you right on the road to hell. It's exactly what they're doing. And do you, just because you have repented now and been baptized, are you automatically just filled with the Holy Spirit at that very moment? No. In fact, that don't happen very, very, very often, that you get everything at one time, as I still need this morning. The apostles in the book of Acts, as they was working with the churches, and they was talking to these to people, and they become believers. They repented and become believers. What happened? They were taken, they were baptized in water, but they had to wait for Peter and John to come from another place to them, and they asked them, how were you baptized? We were baptized by John's baptism. So what did they do? They took them and rebaptized them and explained to them what the Holy Spirit was. Because like they said, we've never even heard there was a Holy Spirit. Then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. God don't give you something you're not going to use. That's why you have it, so you can use it. Even knowledge of His Word, it's given to you so you can use it and share it with somebody else. You don't have to be a preacher. We all deal with people every day, and we're to share God's Word with them. I've got to meet a lady Tuesday morning. I was just told today. Down at the nursing home. To start a Bible study there at the nursing home. Because those people down there, it's like being in jail, really. They can't get out and go to church, and they don't have anything going. So one had talked to me about it, and I told her, yeah, I'd come and hold Bible study for them. So I'm supposed to meet with the director Tuesday. Yeah, I'll go hold Bible study with them. And it won't cost them nothing either. Only the time to do it. Now, but you see, number 7, the key, one God and Father, all believers, every one of us, that believe in Christ, we all have the same Father that the Lord Jesus Christ had. We are His sons and daughters. Once you become that born-again child of the living God, you have moved in to His family. We stand even as the Jews stand. We are now His chosen people. There's no difference in us. There again, we're not going to find when we get to heaven that Jews are going to be in one place and the Gentiles in another. We're all going to be together.
Amen.
And it ain't going to matter whether we're red, white, blue, or black. Color ain't going to mean a thing. You peel his skin off of us, we're all the same color. And we all bleed the same colored blood. And you know, according to the word, where your life's at? Your life's in the blood. When Cain killed his brother Abel, God came down to deal with him about it. What did God tell him? Your brother's blood is crying out to me from the dirt. The Bible tells us in several places. You see, when we don't know the word of God, we don't stand a chance of making heaven our home. Now, we'll not know it all. I don't care how much you study, how many times you read it. These verses in here, there ain't no telling how many thousands of times I've read it. And yet I can read that same verse and get something deeper out of it. It won't change. It'll just give me something deeper. Because God don't change. He tells you he don't. He says, I change not. But that's the seven things that we all need in our lives to have unity. And that's what our world churches out here are missing. They don't have it. Because just as Kenny was saying, he's been to churches, and I have, and probably you all have too, where they just don't believe you have to be baptized. It's symbolic. And the churches I was raised in, spent years in it. In fact, all the way up through my teen years, until I went into the service, spent my time in the service and come back, I was still with that same church. And the only reason I left it is the pastor thought he owned it instead of God owning it. And he told the sergeant that was standing there by me with his wife and two little kids dressed in nice new jeans and white shirts. And he told him, he said, if that's all you've got to wear to church is that uniform and them kids, their clothes that they've got on, I'd just soon you'd go somewhere else. I turned and started down the steps. He said, Katie, I'll see you tonight. I said, no, you won't. Oh, you ain't going to be back tonight? I told him, I said, I ain't coming back at all. But by then, my temper had got up a little because I wasn't really in with God yet. In fact, I was about 24 years old. And I just turned around and went back up where he was. He said, what do you mean you ain't coming back? I told him, I said, you just told that sergeant if that uniform's all he had to wear, and his kids standing there in new jeans and white shirts wasn't good enough to come to your church. This uniform I got on just like his. You asked me to wear mine. And the only difference in his uniform and mine, he ain't got all the junk on his that I've got on mine. And I left. I never did go back. I'd been in that church from the time I was 6 years old up. Little Baptist church on Pendleton Road. That's where it was at. Southern Baptist. Now, I painted that church later on in my life. I married and had a family, big family, working on my own. And they was needing the even all the paint because it's a brick church. But they needed the windows and all of that painted and the even all around it. And I got around in the back in between the two buildings, the church building and their activities building. They were thousands of yellow jackets that made their home up on that eve. And I was up there painting. I was taking it slow and I wasn't fighting them, that's for sure. And they'd lighten my hair. I'd just leave them alone. They'd light on the back of my hand. I'd dip my paintbrush down in the paint, pull it out, and instead of shaking it, I'd just drag it across the edge of the can to get the excess off of it, reach up slowly and go on and paint. Preacher and janitor would come out, and they were standing there watching me. He looked up at me and he said, "There ain't no way you'd get me up that ladder." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Huh, with them up there, there ain't no way." I told him, I said, "They're God's creatures. He'll take care of them and me both if I don't get up here fighting them." I painted all of that church and never got stung, not that first time. Because God can control you. But you've got to believe. That faith's got to be there. Just like faith to do the things that we want to do today and the things that we'll want from the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive everything through faith, knowing that God keeps his word.
Amen.
You pray for healing and you don't get it, don't blame God for it. Don't blame God for it. Because you stop and think, you'll find out where you failed. It'll be on you. It ain't on him. It's on you. You didn't have enough trust in his word. Somewhere along the road, you let doubt creep in there. And it don't take much doubt to stop work. That's why we have to have faith. Don't have no buts and mites and maybes. That's something we don't even need in our vocabulary as a child of God. God said he would heal me, so I know because I know the word, so I know he's already gave it to me. All I got to do now is take it. Proclaim it. Tell Satan, you take that sickness and go. I don't want it. I ain't going to have it. So in Jesus' name, I command you, that sickness, to leave. It's got to go. You can't stand against that name of Jesus. And we're told all this in his word. Yet, mankind today is not wanting to believe it. Believe none of it. All right. Now, you know, we ain't got 2-4 in this chapter. Well, I got through 6 verses so far. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We all have been given some faith. But we don't use it. And we don't grow it in strength. We just let it lay. And we don't put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where it's got to be, in him and in his word. You know, and we find that there in 4 and 6, and all, is where we dealt with unity. But we also find that grace is a spiritual gift. We're not saved because we're worthy of it. We're saved because God loves us He wants us to be part of his family. And it's through his grace that we have salvation. Not anything that we can do. We can't do anything to earn salvation. We accept it because God gave it. It is a gift. And I'll tell you something else. Every one of us that are a child of God has a gift. At least one. Now it's up to you to find out which one you carry. Which one of those nine spiritual gifts is yours? Because God expects you to use it. Now, you may have more than one. And in your lifetime, you may be called upon to use all nine of them. But it don't mean you carry all nine at one time. Because as I told you earlier, you're just going to have what you're going to use. And a lot of people could pray for your healing and see it done, and yet they won't use it, so they don't carry it. But you can have the gift of knowledge. You can have the gift of wisdom. And usually if you've got the gift of knowledge, you also have the gift of wisdom, because you've got the knowledge of God's word, and it gives you the wisdom to use it. But you can also lose it by not using it. And that's something we don't want to do. We don't want to lose things. We want to use whatever it is that God gives to us. And you know, every one of us, as I said, we have some spiritual capability to serve God. Every born-again child of God has got that. And we have a measure of that gift that comes from Christ. But once again, it's something that we all have to use and grow. And we can continue to grow. We grow in faith. We grow in our work. Now, we don't work to make heaven our home. We can't work our way to heaven. But we do good work because we are already there. I already, while I'm here on this earth, I walk in the kingdom of Almighty God. And so do you if you're born again. Everyone that's born again. And Jesus tells us, he told us plainly. He said, these things I do, all that believe in me, these things I do, they can do, and greater than these will they do, because I go to the Father. We're told why we can even do it.
Amen. Verse 8 goes into that.
Huh?
Verse 8 goes into that a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, verse 8 goes into that a little bit. Because you see, those, as I read to you earlier, where he gave healing gifts to the church. He put healing in the church. The only reason we're not seeing it done today is there again, he can't find men that's got enough backbone to take that off and anoint you and pray for you. Why? Because they're afraid. But you know what they're afraid of? I go down there now, I get that oil, and you see it sitting right there. I put some on my finger, and I go over here and I anoint Dave. I pray for Dave. And he ain't healed right then. They're going to laugh at me. They're going to accuse me of being a false preacher.
Or worse.
Yeah, or worse. But it don't mean he wasn't healed. It may not show up for a week or two. But I guarantee you one thing, if it was done with faith, he's been healed. If he believes, he's got to believe it too. You see, until he can accept it, it'll not be done. It'll not come about until he accepts it and starts thanking Jesus for it. And it may take him a while in his mind, rolling over and over and over, to be able to accept it. Just like my wife, I know she's going to be able to come home. I don't know when.
It's done. Just wait.
But I know that God is healing her.
Yep.
When she went in the nursing home, her memory was gone. You could tell her something, stand and tell her something, and turn around 2 seconds later and ask her what it was you told her. She couldn't tell you. Now she's calling her roommate by name. She's calling her roommate by name and even asking about her daughter and her granddaughter. Yet today, she still didn't know me. But see, I know that there's time coming when I'll go in down there and she's going to know who I am. I know that's coming.
Amen.
I don't know when. It's in God's hands. It's his time. He knows how to bring her out of this without more trouble. You see, a lot of times when God does something to you, it can shake you up pretty bad. But bringing her out like he seems to be, slow and easy, she won't go through all them tremors and troubles. When I first went into ministry, for about the first 3 years I was in the ministry, he kept me scared to death. What do you mean he kept you scared? Just what I said. I was raised in a church that didn't believe in none of the gifts of the Spirit. And here he was putting and working a lot of these things through me. And I'm seeing them. Just like the night he called that young lady. Told her, said, young lady, come forward. I hadn't been in the ministry 2 weeks. She come up there and stopped in front of me. I didn't know what to do with her. I just went on back with my sermon. And I heard the Spirit speak. Of course, he's speaking through me. Told her, said, young lady, you've got the Spirit. Of epilepsy. I had no idea epilepsy was controlled by a spirit. But it was. But when I realized it had come from me, if I could have found the door real close, I'd probably went through it. Because I'd been told that things like that don't happen. I'd all died when the apostle died. I went right back preaching the word. I still didn't know what to do with her. I heard that spirit speak to her again and call that demon out of her. I stood there and watched it come out. I could see it. An ugly scrapper, and I probably looked worse than it did at that time. So by then, I really shook up now. She turned, started back into her seat. When she turned down the aisle to go into her seat, I seen it go back to her. Going on with my message, and all at once, this voice spoke again. Said, young lady, you're going to have to come back forward. The couple she was with, I found out later, was her mother and her uncle. They wouldn't let her come. Spirit spoke to her and told her, said, young lady, if you don't come forward, you'll be in the hospital before tomorrow night. I was in the middle of this revival. Next night I was there, just getting started with the service. Front door bust open. Her mother come running down the aisle. Brother Tony, Brother Tony, will you come and go to the hospital with me when service is over? My daughter's in the hospital and they don't know if she's going to live or die. Spirit spoke through me and said, no, you were warned. Wouldn't let me go either.
Yeah, it's strange because sometimes God will give people, some people a lot of chances and some give them just one and that's it.
Now, whether that young lady lived or died to this day, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the problem. We don't know.
I don't know whatever happened to her. I have no idea because he never would let me go. But when he first started talking through me, let me tell you something. It kept me shook up. And when I began to see things like that demon, things I'd rather not see. And like I said, he knows exactly what you can take and what you can't. He knew I'd get through it, but it didn't come easy. And it didn't come without keeping me scared to death. And then when he took me out of the evangelistical field to put me in churches, my first three churches, as I told you, were black. Well, he gave me a good education about the black people. My first black church was in Tampa, Florida. My second black church was in Pine Mountain Valley, Georgia. That was back when all this race trouble was going on. And here I am, the only white man, pastor in a black church, mother of the church, Adam and Eve church is what it was, African Methodist Episcopal. That's some name, ain't it? Now that's what you call a church name. African Methodist Episcopal. AMN. And their oldest lady in the church, she's considered the mother of the church. And I'd finished up one evening, stepped down. Mama come to me and she told me, she said, you know, Pastor, and she had that Georgia drawl, I just love to hug your neck. I said, well, Mom, what's keeping you from it? No, sir. I just can't do that. I looked at her and I said, now, Mama, why? No, sir, I just love to, but I just can't. I kind of leaned back and looked at her. I said, why, Mama, you going to rub off on me? Well, no, sir. But in Georgia, no black woman can hug no white man. I told her, I said, Mama, before I leave here, you hug my neck. No, sir, I'd love to, but I can't. But she did. On my last night there, I stepped down, had just a couple steps, just like here, and she was standing at the bottom there on the floor. When I hit the floor, both arms went around my neck, and she's just standing there just holding on to me. I let her hold me for a little bit. I leaned back, and I looked at her, and I said, "Now, Mama, I thought you couldn't do that." Tears just running. When Libby and I got married, I was taking Libby to Florida. I took her by and let her see and meet Mama. I got another hug out of Mama, too, that day. Mama's gone home now to be with the Lord. But let me tell you something. God taught me a lot of things working with those three churches. My next black church was here in Louisville. He was bringing me back home. He put me up here in Louisville. They was turning police cars over even. They would go down the west end of Louisville. That's the black area. And they'd even turn the white police cars over. And I was right in the middle of the west end down there. I was on 26th Street. Preaching in a black church. And the only way you could have got to me, you'd have went through every black on that street. When you'll stand where God puts you, he'll put you in some odd places.
Yep.
Just like he put me down there in the middle of Tompkinsville that I was telling you all about this morning. Two things down there. What they call the Church of Christ and witchcraft. And I ain't figured out yet which one's worse.
Witchcraft and Church of Christ.
Yeah. That's all down there. I've been called out at midnight. Had a man call me, wanted me to come. His son had been out, come running across and screaming across the front yard, his shirt being tore off of him by a spirit. A demonic spirit, literally tearing his shirt off of him. He hit the front door so hard, he knocked the screen door off and in through the house all the way into the kitchen. Just a young teenage boy. I got rid of that. That's also where I found out why that spirit was after him, because his mother was a witch.
A real one, not on his TV. No,
not his TV. She was strictly real.
Witchcraft does work. It is out there.
2 weeks later, the three of them had come to church, my church. And just as I started preaching, she was sitting back in the back, and she got to carrying on back there to disrupt the service. I went back there, laid my hand on her forehead. I said, "In Jesus' name, peace be still." She went out like light. I mean, completely out. Never had another word out of her all through that service. She's also the one I took that baby out of her arms. Went out, dedicated that baby to the Lord God, and you couldn't get her and her daughter to touch that baby. Because they'd been using it in their witchcraft ceremonies. I took my wife, one Saturday we was going to go riding. We started out, and when I first started, I didn't know where I was going. Libby just wanted to go riding. I'd been telling her about these different churches and things where I'd been. Things have been going on in my life. I think she thought two-thirds of them was big, tall tales. But anyway, I started out. She said, "Where are we going?" I told her, I said, "Well, I think we'll ride down Tompkinsville," because I knew where that family lived. I told her, I said, "You know, I've been telling you about witchcraft. I'm going to let you meet one." So I took her to their house. we got down there, it was summertime, pulling the driveway, and her husband was out, him and son-in-law was out to the car, been out working with the car. He seen me pull in. And he come over and greeted me. He said, let's go out on the front porch and talk. The way the yard was fenced and all, you had to go through the house to get to the front porch from the backyard. So we going through. Got into the kitchen. She was in the kitchen. Of course, Libby's with me. His wife, Mary, she looked up at me. She seen me and she said, you ain't got no business here. You ain't welcome. I just kept going. You heard me. You ain't got no business here. I looked at her. I said, Mary, you really want to deal with me? She shut up. We went right on out on the front porch. Every once in a while, her daughter would come to the door and she'd say, you got to leave. Mama don't want you here. I told her, I said, you know what I told your mother? Best thing you can do is get back there in the kitchen and be quiet. Well, I didn't stay too long, but I talked to the two men. We left, going down the road. Libby looked at me and she said, I have never seen so much hate. She said, now that hate is something else. She said, they really hate you. I said, oh, yes. I knew that. But I'd been telling you about them, so I thought I'd let you meet them. And she began to believe me then. I don't know whether Mary's still living or not. I haven't had any connection with them now in probably 15 years or so.
Well, I don't think I couldn't be married to a witch. That'd be awful.
His life was something else, but he wouldn't leave her. But when things would get real bad, I don't know who he called after God brought me out of there. But I kept every day begging, Lord, get me out of here. Lord, get me out of this place. He kept me there 2 years. 2 years. Now, I mean, when them witches got together, it wasn't no TV show. Mm-mm. I seen Mary stand and walk out to the street and reach down and get a handful of gravel and open up her hand, and you could watch the rock burn. That's how real it was. And then using that baby in their rituals. When he called and told me what they were doing, I told him, I said, I'll be right there. I got there. I didn't say nothing. I just walked up and got that baby, took it out there under a tree they had out there in the yard. I lifted it up, dedicated it to the Lord, brought it back, and you couldn't get any one of them to touch it.
Well,
I had to give it to him.
Yeah, the spirit went into the baby. Didn't want that.
No, uh-huh. Well, nothing to do with it. Now, when I left, I don't know who he could call on, because I didn't know anybody else around down there that walked close enough to deal with any of it. That's why they was all getting away. I mean, it's full. That area is full of witchcraft. Men, women, young teenagers.
It's
full of it.
It gets worse all the time. It's mainstream now. It's okay, right? Kids are playing games and all that, right?
And right here in West Point, Kentucky. I live in West Point. I lived there 15 years. I'm sure this now we're going to close. But had these young boys, 10, 11 years old, was into this devil worship. Well, three of the boys run around with Jimmy, my youngest, my baby boy. And when I found out what was going on, I told Jimmy, I told him, I said, you don't do that. Now, you all go to school together, but you don't get out here with them. Well, all right. I was holding Bible study every night at home. Well, that night, two of them came down to the house to see Jimmy. I told him, I said, oh, he's in Bible study. You can come in if you want to. You can be here for Bible study. Well, they came in. And as I got started reading this one, he was about 10 at the time. And I can prove it to you because he just lives not too far from here now. And he started carrying on. I went over and laid my hand on his forehead. I said, peace, be still. He sat there a minute. He looked up at me. He went to cry. Katie, take your hand off me. Katie, take your hand off me. You're burning me up. You're burning me up. Never had no more problems out of him. And the one that had started, named Joe, lived across the street from me in one house down. I was out on the front porch one day, and he come running in the holler. I called him. He was about 11 years old. He had gotten so bad with it that they wouldn't even let him go to school. School wouldn't let him in. I called him. I asked him, I said, man, what's wrong with you? I was out there in the backyard, and he said, I was holding my fiance, and he said, I seen the ground open up, and I looked straight into heaven. Well, it scared hell out of him. That was the end of him and his devil worship.
You mean hell was real?
Yeah, and he'll tell you so. The young man, though, that I was telling you, that told me I was burning him up. His dad was a cop, Hardin County cop, and just lived two doors from me. And now he just lives right up here, married, got kids. But I'll tell you something, that devil worship stopped. But one of the young men went home, and his mother found him, and she found him just in time. He hung himself in the closet. And she found him just in time to keep him from dying. You'd be surprised how real a lot of this stuff is. And things are going to get worse. And it ain't going to be that long. Until it does.
Yeah, today.
And, you know, and hopefully we'll pick up where I left off come Thursday night. And I hope to see all of you back again Thursday night. Of course, no, I won't see him. But I do need you two here to help me out here and let people see more than one car out there. James had told me that he probably wouldn't get to make it. He said he was going to try. But he had to go to Elizabethtown for something. And whatever it was, he wasn't leaving to go until after 2 o'clock. I didn't get into his business, asked him why he was going. He just said he had to go. So, and he told me, he said, I'm going to try to make it back. But he said, I don't think I can. And, of course, the new dentist, he works on Sunday night. He's here on Sunday morning. And right now, as he told you all this morning, they got 5 out. Well, they only have, I think he told me there was 6 or 7 of them that works there, and 5 of them are out.
They quit?
No, they're out sick with this, supposedly with this virus. But anymore, you never know. Because
right.
You go to the doctor today, I don't care what you go for, you're going to come out with COVID. My granddaughter, well, my great-granddaughter, my daughter's daughter, her granddaughter, she's been here. I think you met her. Kim, the redhead. She went to the doctor with sniffles. She come out quarantined. She had COVID. She was not sick a day. Not one day. But she was quarantined and had to lose 12 days of work. And it caused Cindy to be quarantined. Her grandmother, because she lived with her. Because my daughter raised her from a baby up.
Yeah.
So her mother died when she was about 8, 9 months old. My mother passed away with cancer. And my daughter raised her and her brother. And a family that right now, his grandmother lives next door to me. But he's also the one, when I put Libby in the nursing home, because her insurance and Medicare wouldn't pay anything even on the nursing home, I had to sell some property to keep her there. And I sold it to Libby's sister, which is his grandma, that lives next door to us. Her grandson bought it. He bought the property because he's a farmer. He'd always wanted to be a farmer, and he got into cattle farming. He raises Black Angus cattle. So, and the farm he bought was getting overstocked. He would need more ground. And we had been letting him use our ground anyway. Because he had an electric fence, and portable, he could just stick up, you know, take put up and down. And don't take him long to do it the way it is. And so here, a week ago, I was informed that his whole family had COVID. There was none of them ever sick a day. And they was out every day with them cattle. None of them ever sick. But they had COVID. Because they had went to the doctor. Now, I don't know which one of them started it. But anyway, one of them they took to the doctor, and the doctor told them that that one had COVID. So they all had to be tested. And when he tested them, they all had it. Government keeping control. That's all it's for. That's exactly what it's for and about. But you know, if we walk with God, he tells us in Psalms 91, if you're a child of God, it ain't going to come near you. That's why I don't worry about it. He tells you, that plague ain't going to come near me. Nor my home. I don't worry about it. That's why I wouldn't close my church doors. Never missed a meeting on account of it. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray, Father, that for peace for them, because we know, Father, that things are in a turmoil there. There are enemies all around them, Father. We know that rockets are going into that land every day. Property being destroyed and people killed. We're praying for peace for them, Father. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, this land of ours, without any excuse, turned its back and walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ, standing against your church, calling your people domestic terrorists, Father. We ask you now, Father, to help us to remove from office those that are against us, against the church, against the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to replace them with ones that will work with Jesus and work with your church and work with us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, our prayer list, as each name is called, Father, may the Holy Spirit touch them, bring about the infilling of whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Father, Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Pastor Luke Bess of the Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches, I pray for them, Father, and I pray that they are teaching your word according to the way it's written, that they are walking as lighthouses to the community in which they stand, filled with the Holy Spirit. And these ministers, Father, that they are filled overflowing with the Holy Spirit to keep these churches on the pathway of righteousness. This young man that has been ordained into the ministry, Will. Father, my prayer for Will is that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit and he is the minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, Father, we lift them up. Put them in your hands because you know what the need is there. And that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. Keep one there, Father, that is filled with the Holy Spirit to keep that church full of thy Spirit. For my three friends, Father, in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephron Iron, Father, keep them safe. Keep them, Father, in thy will, in thy way. Give them the protection they need, Father, because they walk in places to where, if they are caught, will mean imprisonment and death. For the Johnson family, for the Branson family, for the Lee family, for my wife's family, for my family, and for each family that will hear this message this night, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to work in these families, to help to turn those that are walking in darkness, turn them to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they can walk from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, that none be lost, and all can make heaven their home. Father, for Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mombillo, for Sue and for David, Father, for Palance Goodman, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen. Father, these all stand in need of thy hand touching them and their lives. They need healing, Father. Heal them all. Touch them in a mighty and great way until they know, Father, that you have touched them. Now, Father, this church, it's yours. It's not mine. You set me here as an overseer. Now, Father, we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. And God bless. Remember, Thursday night at 6 p.m., God willing, we can all be together again. Good night now. But don't go before I get a chance to get down there and greet you.